Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
It is a Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Tony Wendorf and Associates, First Weber Group. They believe in the human side of real estate, faith, family, friends. They move fast, negotiate with confidence, and communicate clearly so their clients win, no matter if it's buying or selling. Get started today at wendorfteam.firstweber.com.
Gee, I think I could have read that better. Josh, you agree?
I'm less confident after yesterday's snafu.
I mean, we've got a lot. It is Wendorf Wednesday. I can give that to you if you want, or I can give you the one during Adam before.
I'm not going to lie.
Before we talk to Shefty, you can, you know, hey, Adam Schefter, he's brought to us by Tony Wendorf and Associates. I'll give you the read if you want it.
I'm not going to lie. I kind of forgot how to read.
What do you mean you forgot how to read?
I was trying to do it by memory, and then I kind of struggled, and then I tried reading backwards, which never works.
What do you mean? Okay, so you kind of lost your spot and then tried to regain your spot by going right to left instead of left to right?
Yes. Yeah. Is that the dyslexia? No, that's where the
the
words get screwed.
The letters or numbers can kind of get jumbled. In your mind, that's what dyslexia is.
Kind of felt like taking a test that you didn't study for. You know?
But no,
you tried fudging it.
But this was reading.
I know.
What do you mean you forgot how to read? You're telling me between the last time, I mean, Josh, when's the last time he did a read for the Jewelry Center and Dean Dean the Dancing Machine?
It's been a while.
As I say, probably a month or two.
Yeah. Oh, so you're telling me if I gave you a geometry or an algebra equation, you could knock it out of the park? No. No.
But that's not basic.
That all comes together.
Like, that would be like forgetting how to add.
Yes.
Which sometimes.
Like if you give me 7 + 8, I'm going to be able to do that.
Well, you know how I struggle with the amount of games they play in the NFL. It's because it's an odd number. Even are much easier, right?
Yeah.
You're not going to tell me that odd are equal to
but
even. Even is much easier.
Basically what you're trying to tell me and Josh right now.
Yeah.
Is you did not read anything for a month.
Define reading, though. No, that's not true. Because
I was about to say, like, you have your
phone. I skim. I don't. And I miss things when I skim. Yes. I'm a big skimmer.
We're aware. Oh, we're aware.
Like, I walked in this morning. I said, Tiger's playing 25 tournaments. And you said, that is not true.
Oh, Tiger's making a comeback? No.
So I read
said
it.
He's playing 25 times. I'm like, dude, that was a sarcastic comment to avoid answering a question.
The problem is I read till I'm satisfied and I don't go any farther.
And you don't know when you're going to be satisfied.
Exactly.
I mean, chances are you're going to be satisfied sooner rather than later. But
I was satisfied when he'd say playing 25 rounds, even though I think it's irrelevant. But it'd be nice to see him play 25, which you burst my bubble and said that he was joking.
Yeah, he was. He was avoiding answering the question because he was just cleared for chipping and putting.
But you know what we got?
We got another Dean to the dancing machine. You're going to get a chance at it.
See what kind of grade I get today.
How much? Well, I'm just fascinated by this thought of you forgetting how to read.
Probably goes back to the, because you really, like I said yesterday, right? If I hear Y corner,
yep,
or Y deep cross, you get really excited.
Yeah.
Okay. But you have to pay attention.
Correct. Even
and
though
realize
you're excited.
Which one.
Yeah. You just got excited.
So I heard it.
Yeah.
Which was Y deep cross, and I ran Y corner, which still grinds me to this day because that is like, out of all the plays, those are probably two of them you want called, and I blew it. But from that stemmed an unbelievable play.
You invented a play.
That I get no credit for.
That you invented
a play. And Andy Reid would say yes. If you asked him.
Yeah.
He'd like, you know, because it's the throwback to the corner where they still roll to the right and throw it back because I was so damn wide open. He would say, yeah, Chewy deserves a credit for that. Do you get credit if you screw up, though? If it's a screw up, can you get credit for it?
I think you get credit for it. You created a new play.
I think if we went to Google and searched for like the greatest inventions that were mistakes, all those people got credit for those mistakes, even though that wasn't entirely what they... All throughout history, stuff like this happened.
For example, like Ben Franklin. Kites getting, hit by electricity. Getting hit by electricity.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of things you just sort of stumble your way into. You're like, looking for one thing, you end up with another.
I'm shocked that the most insightful thing I've ever said in my entire life didn't take off. It is so good.
Oh, boy.
No, it was so good. Knowledge is knowledge, even if it's wrong. It's so true. I bet Homer would agree with me.
I don't know if that's the ally you want, but...
I'm just saying.
Maybe it's the ally you want. But again, think about one of the things that your wife keeps track of in the house.
Yes.
That was created. Its now use was not its original intended purpose.
Correct.
Like they were looking for, when Viagra was created, it was a drug, what was it, a heart medication?
Yes. And then guys were getting rockets, and they're like not giving them back.
Yeah,
because I had a buddy that worked for Pfizer, and he said that's all I came about.
So again, but Pfizer still gets So they discovered that by accident. I mean,
the problem with my wife,
Christopher Columbus landed here, thought he was in India.
The problem with my wife was this: when it comes to counting those things, she didn't realize that that was barterable.
Oh, she didn't realize that you were using that as currency with your neighbors.
Yes, with the blammer. Yeah.
So she was getting upset because what? Some were missing, and then you had to explain, no, I gave those to the blammer.
Yes.
I've got top 10 inventions that were mistakes.
That were mistakes.
Okay. Little power rankings on a Wednesday. I love it.
Number one, the slinky. That seems a little crazy to me when you start figuring out some of the others.
Slinky.
The idea came to naval engineer when he was trying to develop a spring that would support and stabilize sensitive equipment on ships. While he was working on the project, one of the springs fell off a shelf and kept moving. Number two is the chocolate chip cookie. Now that's a little more deserving of the spot.
The fact that chocolate chip cookie is number two behind Slinky, I'm already got questions about this list.
I got another one. I guarantee is on the list, Josh. Potato chips.
Correct.
potato chips discovered by accident.
Four. Number three here, the microwave oven. Also accidental invention. Experimenting with radar-related vacuum tube when he noticed the candy bar was melting in his pocket. So not only was he cooking the candy bar, he was cooking himself. Shout out to him.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, the Post-it note. The only thing he could make was a temporary adhesive, not strong enough to hold much weight. Lo and behold, the temporary adhesive was good for something, holding bookmarks in place.
I'm anti Post-it.
Post-it?
I think it's arrogant. I think it's just a form of arrogance.
Arrogant?
How is Post-it arrogant?
Because my wife uses them as reminders to kind of stick it to me.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't think she's trying to stick
it
to
you. No, she's sticking it to me.
It's passive aggressive.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Your wife is not ever... Okay.
Sounds like someone's in my camp over here.
Yeah.
Right?
But everything like that I know about Angie, she's not going to be passive
aggressive.
She's aggressive aggressive.
but
she's got no reason to be passive with the reputation she has.
Like, chores should not have a time limit, okay? I'll get to it. I got a week. I got nothing to do.
I mean, there is eventually a time limit.
Yeah, sometimes there is.
Is there?
Well, because you have to get certain chores done by a certain time. Like, if you want to clean the toilets before somebody comes over, you got to do that before that person comes over.
How about a toilet that's running? I know I got to call the plumber. I know.
See, that one's a little more urgent because, again, the running water is kind
of
costing you money.
You shut the thing off.
Okay,
the kids are gone. We're the only one. Yeah. I got it covered.
Somebody using that bathroom by mistake while the toilet's off?
I got some stories. I got some stories.
Do you think maybe the preaching of urgency is perhaps you are a little forgetful
at
times?
Okay, so here's the deal. You know, I have people come over at times. Blammer brings the mail, sweeps the packages. And things are missing from time to time. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, I have his drink always on hand. So I came back this last time, and it's empty. The only one in the house. Okay?
So he
which
was,
is fine.
So he was
which
helping himself.
Fine,
he, the blammer was helping himself with some blammers.
Which I have no problem with.
Okay.
But tell me, so I can reload it for the next blammer Thursday.
Sure.
So you have something to drink instead of, you know, giving me dirty looks and like, well, what do you mean you got no Jameson? The other one, I had a guy come over to water the plants.
Mm-hmm.
This one's a mystery. There was a whole bottle of wine dumped all over our stairs and not cleaned up.
So a guy comes into the house to water the plants while you're gone.
Yes.
Friend of yours, presumably.
Yes.
And you come back and there is just a bottle. Was the wine bottle still there
no,
as well?
No, it was gone. But it was halfway down the wall in a puddle by the wine cellar at the bottom of the stairs. Carpet was all stained.
Is there a potential the bottle fell out of the cellar?
No, because it was outside the door.
Ah.
That's a weird one.
So once again, that's fine payment for watering the plants, but wouldn't you clean it up?
Did there appear to be an attempt to clean?
No. No attempt whatsoever.
I got to get out of here type scenario?
Yes.
Huh. One's strange.
Did you talk to your friend about it?
No.
Seems like that's the next step here, isn't it?
Well, I don't want him to stop watering the plants.
I think it's fair to ask of, hey, what happened? Why is there wine all over the floor?
Fair.
You could start with, hey, if you took a bottle of wine, I don't care. I'm just trying to solve why there's wine all over my floor.
So it's just very bizarre. Very bizarre. So
people just taking advantage of you. Okay, back to the inventions that were invented by accidents.
We'll rapid fire a little bit of these. Okay. X-rays was also an accident. Penicillin, because of the mold, famously. Matches. Safety glass. Super glue. The implantable pacemaker. And Velcro. All accidental inventions.
Really? That's good to know.
I mean, I question whoever who had that list, Josh, because it feels like I don't want to argue with Slinky's inclusion on the list.
Yeah, it was a bad one.
It was a bad number one.
Now, back to the potato chips.
Yeah.
I think there was a famous person that was grinding the chef about making
to New York restaurant customer complaining about the fried potatoes being too soggy and thick. George Crumb got so upset that he cut the potatoes into extremely thin slices, fried them, and then sprinkled some salt. Crumb would never have thought in a million years that we'd invent one of the world's most popular snacks, the potato
Crazy.
Chip.
Love them.
So not every person complaining at the restaurant is the worst.
So is my screwing up of the play list worthy? I would say it's probably in the NFL world.
John, on the talk and text line, 800-990-3776, did they name that new form play that Chewy screwed up? Did they name it after him going forward?
No.
Or did they ever call the play up again?
But everyone has seen it. Everyone, even in the red zone, everyone rolls to the right, and all of a sudden the tight end is wide open on the backside.
Yeah.
That's me. That's me.
And so Andy Reid would say, hey, Chewy should get credit for this.
Yes.
You guys never called that play?
No, they called wide deep cross, but I ran the corner.
Yeah, exactly.
Never went back to it.
But
yeah,
but
we used to go out the back door. So we would have a play on the goal line where I would be front side and fall down.
Okay.
So you'd fall down and go 1,001, 1,000 go.
Yeah.
And then you'd just sneak your way to the back door wide open. Yeah. No, I didn't ever got credit for it. That's fine. I'm not that guy.
What did they name that play?
God, I don't even remember.
We can't pass by and let that last comment sneak out. He said, I never got credit for it. That's fine. I'm not that guy. We've built 14 minutes of the program around that play and not getting credit for it.
Well, Gabe said, hey, in the production meeting, he's like, you got anything? I'm like, nah, it'll come to me. Which always happens. Am I right?
You're
How many
right.
times do you say that? You got anything? Nope.
And then we spend 14 minutes talking about a play you invented and other accidental inventions. Yes, that is typically how the warm-up works here on good old Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We do have football stuff we want to get to. Adam Schefter coming up in about 15 minutes. But we will dive into Packers-Bears. Coming up next, it's Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
How much will Angie let you grow a beard?
I would say for 3 months I have to keep a beard if I lose.
Okay, and Angie would allow you to have a beard for 3 months.
She doesn't run my life. Drop that.
Yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It is a Wendorf Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Adam Schefter coming up in 10 minutes, but Mark in Watertown wants to let you know, Chewy, on the Carbos Talk at text line, that a real grinder would be able to fix a toilet.
It's the floater. Right? Isn't it most times the floater? Oh, you're an electrician guy. It's got to be, yeah.
And by floater, yeah, you're referring to inside the toilet, not in the toilet bowl.
Yeah. I mean, he's right. It's kind of outside my scope. I mean, I could probably fix it, but I don't. There might be other problems that would arise.
Sure.
So, you know how I would fix it?
How would you fix it?
Shut the water off.
That's a temporary fix.
Shut the water off.
I mean, eventually, you're going to want to use that bathroom again, or somebody's going to want to use that bathroom again.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to fix it. But the Packers do play the Bears, Chew, coming up on Sunday. And we did learn, by the way, that the second round of this matchup down in Chicago, we always knew it was going to be that Saturday. We just didn't know if it was going to be the mid-afternoon game or the primetime game. Not shocking that Packers-Bears is going to be the primetime game that Saturday night on the 20th of December, 17 days from now. But I also feel it's kind of rare where that hot head coach name kind of ends up working out the way it has for the Chicago Bears, right? Like, everybody gets excited for a name or two. Every coaching cycle, guy goes in there. Who knows if he's actually going to be successful? And through the first 12 games, to Ben Johnson's credit, he has been very successful.
Mm-hmm.
Do we think that this is long-term success? Is he just getting the bump right away? What do you see when you see the Chicago Bears? Do you see a team that you think is going to be around hanging out with the Packers at the top of the division?
Long-term success. I don't know if Caleb Williams is the guy, but a lot like Holmgren was, because he was the hot coach at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just a good offensive mind, you know, in this league is offense driven. So I would expect long term success. Now, I don't know about the front office. Is Poles still there?
Yes.
I don't know how much say Johnson has in the whole thing. And the two have to work hand in hand in order to be successful. But I think he's a hell of a coach. And I think, you know what? Jeff Hafley might be the Ben Johnson of this upcoming year. He's gone.
He's gone, Gabe. I don't know about that, Chew.
Yeah.
Just because defensive head coaches in this league are fairly rare.
But he's been a head coach.
He has been a head coach. But the problem is, chances are if you have fired your coach, you'd look at these places already, right? Like, if you're the New York Giants, and I know that's been a place that's been floated for Hafley. Yeah, Hafley's an attractive candidate. But if Hafley comes in, hires an offensive coordinator that has success with Jackson Dart, guess who's going to be pretty gone pretty quick after that?
I don't look at Vrabel. I don't see Vrabel going anywhere. And look what he's done there. He's turned that place around pretty quickly, you know?
Well, no, because the difference there, and maybe you can find this if you are Hafley. The difference
I get what you're saying.
Is Josh McDaniel.
Yes.
Right? Like, so he had, like, Vrabel's able to go there. He's got McDaniel to be the mentor to the young quarterback. But McDaniel, not only did he failed spectacularly as a head coach. So nobody's going to come knocking at that door to pull that offensive play caller away. And that, to me, is always something for young quarterbacks. You want to have as much consistency as possible, which is why, if you're an offensive-minded head coach, teams want to go after you if they have a young quarterback.
But you know what? You'd be shocked. And I was kind of shocked because my son's much more wired in Because he's got he's got people in the NFL. He's got people in college football. You'd be shocked.
You were telling me about your son's network the other day.
Yes. Yeah, he's got a great unbelievable network. But you'd be shocked on how many coaches do not want to be head coaches. They just don't want to be. They're comfortable. They don't want, you know. I was blown. Yeah. He's like, because I'd be like, what about this guy? Why? No, he doesn't want to be a head coach. Just doesn't want it. He's very comfortable being in the coordinator role. So he's got to kind of find, like, you think McDaniel will ever be a head coach again?
No.
Nah.
No one's going to give him that opportunity. Because again, not only did he fail, like, he failed spectacularly.
Steve Spagnuolo, right?
Not going to get an opportunity.
But he's fine at being a coordinator.
Spagnuolo?
Yeah, I think he's got a chance. I feel like time's gone long enough. And okay. If
but
the
he
Chiefs
might
go,
not want to be.
Yeah,
know?
I mean, life's pretty good for him.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and that's the thing with McDaniels. Like, I mean, how many times? This is his third different time being the offensive coordinator of the Patriots.
Yeah.
I think what makes McDaniels is the whole, like, leaving a team high and dry.
Yes.
That to me, was that's the nail in the coffin. Like, if you didn't do it right one time.
Yeah.
And it failed spectacularly, but. Like, we've seen coaches get a second shot and it go extremely well.
Yeah.
But McDaniels has already gotten that second chance.
Yes. Yeah, he got a second, a third.
But, like, Dable, then, I could see Dable be like, screw that. I'll be a coordinator and make $3, $4 million a year. I don't have to deal with the headaches, you know? I could see him going down.
Well, because, again, those coordinator salaries are only going up. And if you're comfortable, now you only have to talk to the media once a week. You don't have to deal with everything else. You can just be a football coach.
I just think Halfley's going to be the hot guy. I just do. He's young.
I think
players love him.
It's really tough for a defensive guy. And I'm not saying that he's here or not. I'm just saying it's tougher for a defensive guy to be like the hot candidate. Because, again, the jobs that are currently open, you know, New York, Tennessee, they've got a young quarterback in place.
Yes.
What they're looking for is somebody to mentor and marry to that young quarterback and have success with.
Yeah.
And it's tough because, again, if Halfley goes in there, let's say Halfley goes to Tennessee, and next year Cam Ward explodes, just looks really good, has a Pro Bowl type of year. They finished just outside. His offensive coordinator is going to be a hot name as a head coach.
Yeah.
Oh, look at what this guy did with Cam Ward.
Yeah.
Can come to our organization, do the same thing. That's the tough part because you don't want to lose that offensive part.
No, I think
the best spot for a guy like Halfley would be somewhere like where Harbaugh went to the Chargers.
Yeah,
a somewhat established quarterback where you can then provide people around him to, but you're building off of a foundation that's already set.
Correct.
Like starting fresh and clean, that to me seems like a little less ideal of a spot.
But there was always a connection. There was a connection between the Maras and Boston College. I don't know what it was because they said they were going to draft me. Liars.
They eventually hired
but
your
Coughlin,
head coach.
Yeah, they took Coughlin. There was just a connection there. So, and I'm sure Halfley knows of it.
Yeah, I'm just looking at jobs that would have like an established quarterback.
Well, look at Tomlin. Tomlin's a defensive guy. He's been there forever.
Oh, yeah. He's been there forever.
I mean, and there's defensive been a crapload of coordinators that have gone through there.
I'm not saying coordinators can't have success. I'm just saying it's tougher for those guys to get the jobs because teams are thinking of, okay, we've got the young quarterback. Now, again, if you already have somebody established, it's easier to, okay, he's going to come in here, bring his coordinator. We've got a good veteran quarterback.
Yeah.
But those jobs are like...
But
when the Packers job came open after McCarthy got fired, that type of job would have been perfect for Halfley.
Yeah.
Like if that type of job opened now, where you've got the veteran quarterback and can come in and just be a really good head coach.
Back to Ben Johnson.
Yes.
Players know, man. I knew when I was going to lose Andy to the quarterback coach. I walked in and I said, you're not my coach next year. You're going to quarterback coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he is playing dumb or whatever. But he went to quarterback coach. And then I'll never forget, me and Brett were leaving to go somewhere at a Signature Air in Green Bay. And Andy was there getting picked up by Philly's jet. And I'm like, you're gone. You're getting the job.
Yeah.
Because there was rumblings of him maybe getting the job in Green Bay. And I think they had already hired Rhodes.
Sure.
And Philly, I'm like, you ain't coming back. Because you know when you see a good coach.
Yeah.
You just know. And you know when you see a bad coach. You know? And I think Halfley is a hell of a coach.
No, he is.
I really do.
He is. And I'm with you, Chu. I think eventually he's going to be gone, but I think it's ultimately got to be the right situation.
Yeah.
Because also for him to have success, like cycling through a bunch of offensive coordinators isn't good for anybody either.
No.
You know, if you're the head coach and you're constantly having to hire, because every once in a while you're going to hire a bad one. I mean, just Nick Sirianni has had a lot of success as a head coach in this league.
Yes.
But he's also like 2 for 4 in hiring offensive coordinators.
Well, that's the thing. He's replaceable because he's a managing coach.
Yeah.
It's easier to replace a managing coach instead of a coach that is a coordinator.
We'll dive more into this, plus Packers, Bears, and everything else in the NFL. Adam Schefter joins us next on a Wendorf Wednesday.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And he was the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And Joshy's biggest fan.
It's nice to see Josh at the big boy table. Thank you, everybody. Keep up the good work, Josh.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter. Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino, Tony Wendorf and Associates, and Smart 18 Union.
That's right, Adam Schefter here on Jed, Gabe, and Chewy, brought to you by Tony Wendorf and Associates. Just like the moves made in the pros, Tony Wendorf and Associates, First Weber Group. They help people make their own big moves every day. Trusted knowledge, superior service. They're the real estate MVPs of Wisconsin. Always love talking to Adam Schefter every Wednesday. Good morning, Schefty. How are you today?
How we doing? Big game this week, huh?
Big game. Hopefully it goes better for us than it did for, you know, the team you're representing on the stream today for their big game this past weekend. But good on you for still repping. I respect that, Adam.
Ohio State, the better team won. Congratulations to them. It was a great game for them and not a great game for us, but we had 4 or 5 years running there of wins, and we'll get our turn back in time.
As far as the Packers' big game, I mean, I can't imagine this working out any better for the Bears with Ben Johnson. I mean, how often does the hottest name in the coaching carousel end up having this type of success right away? I feel it doesn't happen very often.
I'm trying to think of the last guy that hit a home run like this that you knew was the guy that everybody wanted. Ben Johnson could have had his choice of jobs last year. He chose Chicago, and he chose Chicago in part because of Caleb Williams, the number one overall pick, and they lost their first two games, and it didn't look great the first 2 weeks of the season. All of a sudden, they're the number one seed in the NFC right now going into Sunday's game. Sunday's in Green Bay, correct?
Yes.
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 Sunday's late afternoon.
What's
late
that?
Afternoon when,
yeah, 3:25, and then they announced the one in Chicago, because it's a weird schedule quirk, Adam, where they're playing twice in 3 weeks. So in the game in a couple of weeks in Chicago that's going to be prime time on a Saturday. Just found that out yesterday as well.
Yeah, saw that. And so, look, the division will be decided here in these next 3 weeks in all probability, right? Like, these two matchups are going to go a long way towards determining who wins the NFC North and whether the Bears hold on to that number one spot in the NFC. Like, the NFC is so loaded this year, it's amazing that the Bears are the number one seed because there are so many good teams with so many good records, and here are the Bears sitting in the number one spot.
Adam, can we equate Detroit's downfall to the losing the two coordinators now, or is it more than that?
I think it's a combination of factors. I think you can certainly factor that in prominently, Chewy. You can't lose Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, and think that everything's going to be running just the way that it was. Now, Kelvin Shepard, the Lions' defensive coordinator, has done a great job, and he's head coach one day. They've had issues on the offensive side. Johnny Morton didn't work out early on. Dan Campbell took over the play calling. But, you know, that was an issue that definitely affected them early on. And now you've got injuries again, right? Like, you lose Sam Laporta for the season. You lose Terry and Arnold for the season. You think you're going to get back Frank Ragnow. You don't get him back. He's got a hamstring. Like, they're missing some key parts that – They're still a really good team, the Lions are. But the difference between a great team and a really good team right now, or sometimes, can be the difference in the health of a few players.
Adam, why do you think the opinions at this point are still so varied on Jordan Love. You've sat on the desk with a lot of different guys where I know Dan Orlovsky's a big fan. Mike Tannenbaum is a big fan. Chris Canty, on the other hand, has said some negative things about Jordan Love. Same thing with Rex Ryan. Why are the opinions still at this point, almost 2.5 years into him starting, still all over the place, and there's really no consensus on how good Jordan Love is?
Probably because there are times when he looks great and there are times when he doesn't get it done. And so the people that are backing him are remembering the great performances he's had, and the people that aren't have seen some of the other flashes that haven't worked out well. And I think with Jordan Love, the talent is there to be a top quarterback in the league. It's about being consistent and avoiding some of those mistakes. But he's a top rated guy. What was the stat that somebody sent me yesterday? It was kind of interesting. There are three quarterbacks. I'm going to call it up as we're talking. Three quarterbacks that have done one thing this year. Okay, here we go. Three quarterbacks in the NFL in top five in both ESPN QBR and NFL passer rating, because they're different stats. Mm-hmm. Who are the three quarterbacks?
Well, since you're bringing it up, I would say Jordan Love is on that list. I would say probably one. Drake May is on that list.
Stafford? No.
Those are the three.
Okay.
Three.
All right. Hey, look at us.
You got it right away.
Adam.
By the way, that's great company that Jordan Love is keeping, right? So that's indisputable, right? So there you go.
It's funny, though, here. I mean, people love him, but they seem hesitant to really embrace him. And is that, you think that's because of the two that came before him, Favre and Rodgers? Because I don't know. It's just to us here, because we're in it every day, we don't think he's having a great year, but you look at the stats and he's kind of having a great year.
Yeah.
It's very strange, Adam.
Well, I think, the other two guys won championships, mm-hmm. right? And he hasn't done that yet. So I think maybe that may be one of the differences here, that people are waiting for him to make Titletown again before they're ready to crown him.
Whether it's HVAC, sheet metal, or welding, Smart 18 members are trained to be the best in the business with top-tier wages, unbeatable benefits, and a lifelong career support. It's not just a job, it's a career. Learn more at smart18.org and start building your future today. Is the NFL, because you always hear different things about other leagues. Oh, the NBA is so much better if the Knicks are relevant, or baseball so much better if the last couple of years with the Dodgers being relevant. Is the NFL in a better spot when both the Packers and Bears are relevant and this rivalry actually means something? Because for so long, the Bears dominated this rivalry, like in the 70s and 80s. And then Brett comes along and the Packers dominate through Aaron Rodgers. And Matt LaFleur has lost once. He's 11-1 against the Bears in his career. Is the NFL better and when this game can be big and it means something for both squads?
By the way, I like LaFleur being 11-1 against the Bears. That's pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
As a Packers fan, I love it. I absolutely love it, Adam.
And have you played the Ben Johnson bite from his opening press conference this week? Mm-hmm. You've had to play that.
Oh, most certainly. Yes. Most certainly.
So, I don't know if the league is better, but obviously it's one of the juiciest, spiciest rivalries in sports. And if both teams are playing at a high level, which they are, it makes the anticipation that much greater. Now, again, I think if I remember correctly, they did flex this game out where they changed the start time on Sunday to the late window. Yeah. And it's probably going to be, and it's probably the number one Fox team, right, on Sunday?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. We've got Burkhart and Brady.
Yeah. So, everybody's going to be watching the game on Sunday. So is the NFL better? Well, the NFL is probably really happy to have this game on in the late window on Sunday where the numbers are going to be huge. So, yes, to answer your question, yes. I just think of the league as being so compelling with so many great storylines.
No matter what.
But yeah, the fact that the Bears and Packers are both playing well and the stakes are what they are Sunday, even better, even better.
Adam, which direction do you think Philly goes? I think they're a team that you don't want to play in the playoffs. And if you go back to last year, didn't they lose to Washington towards the end of the year? And people were questioning whether this team could get it done. Well, it's different because the year we played Denver, was a repeat year for us, and you're not as hungry in the regular season, but you kind of turn it on in the playoffs. I don't think they're done. I wouldn't want to face them in the playoffs. What's your feelings?
Well, you know what's interesting? You're asking about the Eagles and not wanting to play them in the playoffs, and I would say to you that there are a lot of teams that you wouldn't want to play in the playoffs. You wouldn't want to play the Chiefs. You wouldn't want to play the Eagles. You wouldn't want to play the Ravens. You wouldn't want to play the Bills. And the problem is some of these teams got to make it to the playoffs to give you the uncomfortable feeling of having to play them in the playoffs because their regular season performance has not been what people have expected. The Eagles, I think the people in that city are having a little bit of PTSD from 2 years ago when the team started so strong and fell off and didn't make the playoffs. Like, that's fresh in their minds, despite the fact that the Eagles did come back last year to win the Super Bowl championship. So now you lose two straight games. And here's what I think has to make you uncomfortable if you're in Philly. It's not your team, because I agree with you. If they're in the playoffs, they're a dangerous team. A lot of clutch players, players who have been there before. I think what has to make you nervous there is that the Dallas Cowboys seem to be coming on quick. Now, that all can come to a screeching halt on Thursday night if Dallas doesn't win in Detroit against the Lions. If Dallas doesn't win, I don't even know if they can catch the Eagles. But if Dallas wins on Thursday night, if Dallas wins its fourth straight game, take a look at the Cowboys' schedule down the stretch and tell me, after they've won four straight games, where the Dallas Cowboys are going to lose. After they play Thursday night at Detroit, home for Minnesota, home for the Chargers, and I don't care who they're playing at home, they're home at Washington and at the Giants. They could run it.
Yeah.
They could run it. And that team right now is playing as, you could say what you want, that team is playing as well as any team in football right now. So, look, the Eagles have to play better. They have fallen a little bit the last couple of weeks. But if Dallas wins Thursday night, I think it gets really interesting.
Is that kind of an elimination game tomorrow night? Like, the loser just is probably out? Because, as you mentioned earlier, Adam, the NFC is just so deep right now. You got teams that have 9 wins that are in the wild card spots.
I think I'm fired up for the game tomorrow night. Like, I think that's a great matchup. It's about as compelling a matchup as we've gotten on a Thursday night this year. The stakes are high. What's Detroit's record right now? Like 6-6 or something to that effect?
7-5.
7-5.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they could go to 7-6 and still make it. I'm just taking a look at Detroit's schedule down the stretch here. After they play the Cowboys on Thursday night, the Lions play at the Rams.
Ooh.
Tough game. Home for Pittsburgh, very winnable. At Minnesota, at Chicago. So, look, it's not a must wins or must wins. You know, they're later in the year. Like, there's no such thing as a must win until you really must win. They don't have to win. But if the loser of tomorrow night's game is going to be in a very challenging spot, that's I feel comfortable saying that, whoever it is.
Adam, how hot is Tomlin's seat? Is that for real?
You know, I just view it like this. Mike Tomlin's going to get to coach there as long as he wants. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're firing Mike Tomlin. If Mike Tomlin decides he wants to step aside after the year, that's his call. And if Mike Tomlin wants to step aside, he would be the number one head coaching candidate out there. He could have any job he wanted. He could have any job in broadcasting he wanted. He could have my job if he wanted it. Like, whatever he wants to do, he can do. So we'll see. But I don't think they're firing him.
Yeah.
Shefty, before we let you go, we got hit here with a big snowstorm over the weekend. Have you guys gotten snow out there out east? How do you handle your snow removal? Is that something you're going out there, own two hands with a shovel? Do you have somebody that comes in and does it? How do you handle your snow removal?
It's both. It's both, to be honest with you. Like, we go and we clear everything out around our steps and thing, and then someone sometimes comes in, if it's a lot of snow, and does the drive. Like, It's a little combination. It takes a village kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you're just too busy. Like, Josh, it took Joshy, what, 2 hours?
Two and a half hours.
to clear all the snow. He's on a corner lot. He's got to handle the corners, the driveway, an alley, heavy wet snow that he had to deal with. You're just too big. You can't deal with that, right?
Here's the deal. You know, I think Chewy and I are about the same age. Chewy, how old are you?
56. Okay, well, 56 going on 68 NFL bodies.
Okay, 59. Okay. Right, so 59, at, you know, shoveling driveways, like, it's time to tell my 25 and 17-year-old kid to start shoveling, okay?
Totally agree.
Yeah, that's just smart. That's
but
just
good
smart.
Good luck with that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Shefty, we always appreciate the time. Look forward to talking to you next week, my friend.
Stay warm, guys. Enjoy the game Sunday. Good luck.
Adam Schefter joins us every Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and he's brought to you by the Island Resort and Casino, a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee. With everything you like to do in one awesome location, visit islandresortandcasino.com to book your total experience today. Everybody's freaking out about Giannis. We dive into that coming up next.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And then you have Raj, who I didn't think he just didn't have the body type of right tackle.
I have a question. Yes. I have a question. Who the hell are you talking about?
What's his name? Yash.
Raj?
Like, I was thinking, okay.
Who's Raj? You tell us, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Well, apparently we've reached that point of the Bucks season, Chew. Things have not been going well for Milwaukee. Had a 7-game losing streak that they ended and then started a new one, losing to Washington. They play the Pistons tonight here in Milwaukee. Pistons, one of the best teams in the NBA to start the season. But the Bucks below 500 on the outside looking in. Giannis has been hurt. Then yesterday, Giannis deleted everything on his social media accounts going back to 2021.
I do think we have to be responsible here. The Instagram has been deleted for a while.
Okay.
With no mentions. The Twitter, we're unsure of when that took place, but everyone noticed yesterday.
All right.
So it's not all new, but in the end, the result is all the same.
I don't even know what that means.
That's the problem. I don't think anybody knows what it means.
It's a thing that's come to mean unhappiness or disconnection with the organization you are playing for.
Do people actually go back and read that stuff? See, I'm a move forward guy. I don't look back. I'm a grind. I push forward. So what's the big deal of something he said in June? Like, who gives a rip?
So the big deal is when you disconnect yourself from your franchise, like it doesn't say Milwaukee Bucks player, you don't have any mentions of the organization and the city and all that. And that usually signals, and it has traditionally, okay.
But the problem is, like, he still has some Bucks, like, from the championship, yes. He has those pictures up.
Yes. Okay. I can help people out here.
All right.
Okay?
Please.
I can help with my MD. Is that what it's called?
An MD?
Yeah.
What do you think MD stands for?
Master of Doctor.
Sure. MD is typically medical
people,
doctor.
Listen up. He's leaving at some point in time. Embrace that. Okay? So enjoy the moment. He is leaving at some point in time. He will be gone. He's not playing his whole career here. Does that help?
No, I don't think that helps.
Why?
I think that only hurts.
The people, they're still holding out hope that he will be here for his entire career?
I think most people realize he probably won't, but I'm holding out, like, Chewy, I can hold these two thoughts in my brain at the same time. I hope he plays for the Bucks his entire career. I hope that ends up being the case. Now, I realize, as a smart individual, that's probably not going to be the case.
Yes.
That he's probably going to leave. And obviously, I mean, I said it at the beginning of the season. If we want to avoid the drama from the Shams report and all that throughout the course of the offseason, the easiest way to do that is to win. And this team is not winning right now.
Yeah, but we kind of figured that going in. We didn't really know. We knew this wasn't a championship team.
No.
So, it's a reboot. It's a little bit of a reboot, which could be a big reboot. But it's going to happen. I'll give you another one. You want another one?
Oh, boy.
Here's another one.
From the MD.
My MD. Jordan Love, probably not playing his whole career in Green Bay.
I think that's always the safe thing to say about any athlete.
Yes. Today. There's very few. Steph?
Yep.
Give me another. Who in football? I mean, Mahomes, there's a chance.
Yeah, but I guess you just never know.
Allen, probably a chance.
Yeah, but you never know.
Lamar, I would say no, because once his legs go, and he's not a pure passer, they're probably going to move on. Anyone else?
I'm trying to think of anybody who's like close to retirement.
Dak? Do you think Dak stays in Dallas his whole career?
With Jerry, no.
No.
No, it's just that's part of life.
I'm trying to think of guys that are like close to retirement that have been with that. Well, I mean, Travis Kelce. Like, he's going to retire,
sure.
You know, he with playing in one place the entire time.
It's a little easier there because no one really
he's going to be,
about,
yeah, he's right? He's going to be a future Hall of Famer. Obviously, his brother played in Philly forever.
Yeah.
I mean, Myles Garrett at this point seems like he's going to be locked in. Myles Garrett is
not
going to
by choice.
This yeah. generation's Joe Thomas.
Yeah.
Just be an unbelievable all-time great, just
yeah.
wasting away, it's never just, playing any yeah. meaningful games ever.
I mean, Giannis probably going to happen in the next 3 years. That would be my timeline.
Well, 3 years, I think, is sort of what people are suspecting. It's a much shorter timeline. And that causes a lot of concern.
Because yeah. it's coming to a head this summer, for sure. Because he's got a year plus an option left. And if you don't know if he's going to...
So it couldn't be a Luka, like in the middle of the season?
It could be if he asked for a trade in the middle of the season. The Bucks aren't going to do a trade in the middle of the season just because. I think the best way for them to leverage and get everything they possibly could get would be at the end of the season.
You think they're resigned to the fact that, hey, we got to start looking towards maximizing our dollars here?
No. I think they're still looking to do everything they can to keep Giannis around.
What else can
which
you do?
I, exactly. Which you I don't no blame money. Them for. I don't, yeah. I, like, I, you decided to stretch and wave Dame. Like, you're going to be eating that for the next 4 seasons after this year anyway.
But I don't think you can blame the Bucks.
No, they did everything they could.
They did everything they could.
Some of the moves worked out. Some of the moves didn't.
Yeah.
They won a championship with Giannis. Mm-hmm. Like, they want to maximize that window with Giannis.
Yeah.
I have noticed a stated and seemingly very different approach to many Bucks fans. For a long time, this was everybody's talking about us. They're trying to get Giannis out of here. And now it seems, and I think probably the team's lack of success, and then Giannis now, for really the first time, contributing to it in a real, like, and when I say meaningful way, it's he did something that would make you question his dedication to the Bucks.
Correct.
And now everyone's tune has changed a lot. I mean, we talked about this just a few months ago as the season was starting.
Changed how? More anger?
No, people seem more resigned to the fact.
To the fact that he's going to be leaving.
Because yes. again, when the Shams, because even just think about this summer, too, when the Shams report came out, which had some elements of truth to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I highly doubt that the Bucks opened an exclusive negotiating window for the Knicks, which is the way he reported it. Because I just don't think that's the way the Bucks would do it. I don't think the Bucks would open it up to the highest bidder. I don't think they would open up any exclusive window for anybody specifically. But Giannis, you know, when that report initially came out, Bucks fans just said, nope, burying my head in the sand. Not true. Shams trying to get him out of Milwaukee. But now with the way the season has played out, you don't hear that as much. Like, oh, this doesn't mean anything. Just, oh, boy, that's not a good sign.
Well, when he does move on, do you still have faith in the front office? I do. I thought they did everything they could to win multiple championships.
It doesn't matter if I have faith in the front office because finding a player that is as good as Giannis in the draft is sheer luck. Sheer luck.
Yeah.
And as we've seen, like, that's what you need to win a championship in Milwaukee. Like, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is a top 25 player of all time. That's how they won back in, they won one back in 71. Giannis is a top 25 player of all time, and they won one in 2021. Like, I can really like the front office, but being able to find a player like that?
Yeah, but do you have to? Because I look at the approach of the Pacers. Like, Halliburton's nice. Way too early to say that he's going to be a Hall of Fame player, but that was just a bunch of guys who knew their role and played well together.
And they went to one NBA Finals and lost.
Yeah.
They're not going back to a finals again.
When Halliburton's back?
Yeah. I mean, they lost a lot of pieces from that
no,
team.
No, I know they did.
Lost a lot of pieces from that team.
One of them plays for the Bucks.
Yeah. Bucks took one of them away.
Yeah.
Like, when those opportunities arise, you got to take advantage of it. And the Bucks did. They won the championship. Yes. Like, I don't want to take that away. And no matter how this Giannis thing plays out, like, he's getting a statue. We're always going to have 2021.
Yeah.
And if, with a team that...
Is it enough, though?
Yeah.
It is?
What do you mean?
Well, you look at Favre and Rodgers,
yeah,
who both won one, and it wasn't enough.
I see, again, I know you're, again, here comes
what?
Chewy hologram what? Championship guy. Like, the Bucks have two championships 50 years apart. It is hard to win a championship in Milwaukee.
So
in the
bar
NBA.
Is lower.
Yes. Is
okay. I didn't know that. I thought the bar was.
You mentioned Favre and Rodgers have two apiece, have two total in the last 30 years.
Yes.
The Bucks have been around for 60 years. They have two total, period. Full stop.
Yeah, it's...
With a lot of incompetence in between 71 and 21.
Fair. Fair.
A lot of it. We get back to the Packers. Chewy wants to talk wide receivers. 2 minutes. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.